Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here. Our auto insurance covers a bunch of stuff, but there are times when people ask them to cover things and they say no. And in this one instance, this one woman asked her auto insurance company, Geico, to cover something. They said no, and she has taken them to court to sue them. She is suing them because she caught a sexually transmitted disease while she was doing sex in her car. So she thinks because she was in her car and she pays auto insurance to Geico, that Geico should cover what she has to pay for getting a sexually transmitted disease while doing sex in her car. She voluntarily had unprotected sex in her car. Geico has the insurance policy on that car. They only name the defendant in this case by initials. They don't say her name. MB. I got to be honest with you.
I thought it was
DD. Yeah, Coleman, I got to be honest with you. I understand why they, in the legal world, will keep children's names out of the public discussion because they're children. And I understand in the legal world while they will keep victims, usually female victims' names, hidden if they're victims of sexual violence or but here you've got a woman suing her auto insurance company, Geico, because she said she caught a sexually transmitted disease while doing sex in her car, and Geico has the insurance policy on that car. I think that person's name should be more than initials. I think we should be able to know that the name of that person.
I think it's because it's a medical issue. You know, when you have an embarrassing medical condition, I think there is some sort of protection you're due, especially if it's something like a sexually transmitted disease.
Well, here's...
Well, this text wants to know, did she have full coverage? Well, I'm quite sure she was covered in the back seat by the dude.
I think her auto insurance was fully covered. I don't think she was, though.
Well, we all know that guy's eggplant wasn't fully covered with latex.
The defendant is actually the defendant, his initials are MB. He gave the sexually transmitted disease to MO.
Mo?
And now she demanded that Geico pay her $1 million to resolve her claim against MB.
$1 million.
Yeah, that's what it is. Since they both have a disease, they have to keep their identities secret because of medical reasons and stuff like that. I guess it's some kind of confidentiality.
Well, when this woman decided to sue Geico for $1 million because she caught a sexually transmitted disease in an automobile, and Geico had the insurance policy on that automobile. Geico then filed a lawsuit against her.
Right. That's good.
Geico says that for the two policies Geico issued to MB, that those policies do not provide coverage for someone getting a sexually transmitted disease while doing sex in the car that Geico is the insurance company for. That they're saying,
that's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
Yeah, they're saying, look at all this. Here's the insurance. This is what we cover. And as you'll see, sexually transmitted diseases that someone may catch.
I know.
Or people may catch while doing sex in a car that is insured by Geico. We're not financially responsible for that.
I understand that the person suing is a female. However, for her to even make that claim, she has some balls. Like, just the audacity of just thinking, you know what, since I did sex in the car, I'm gonna sue my auto insurance for not covering me.
Yeah, Geico says that their insurance policy applies to bodily injuries arising out of the ownership, maintenance, or use of the automobile. And that this claim have no nexus to the ownership, maintenance, or covered use of the 2014 Hyundai Genesis. That was the lap of luxury.
That's not even... Robbie says, so I didn't win the Powerball last night. Can I sue them for not winning?
Yeah, they sold one winning ticket in California, just under $700 million.
They did? I thought it went unclaimed.
No, last night they had a draw.
Smokey says, girls say men gave them STDs. What if she already had it and blamed them? This text says, I'm guessing she must have only had liability.
Yeah, there are so many frivolous lawsuits in our country, and then they waste the court's time. This is one of them. I mean, this woman is in a car doing sex. She finds out the man who she was doing sex with in the car gave her a sexually transmitted disease. So now she wants to get paid by the automobile's insurance company, Geico, because of this. And they're like, slow down here. This is, no. No, and you should slow down in other aspects of your life as well. That's what they're saying.
Well, the car was parked, so she didn't have to. I'm assuming the car was parked, so she didn't have to slow down.
We always appreciate it when you text us during our radio show. Always keep them short, one or two sentences. Never text while you're driving. If they're good, we'll read them on the show. Coming up this morning, Facebook was out yesterday, along with Instagram, Facebook Messenger. They were all out for 5 to 6 hours. People freaked out. Some did. Mark Zuckerberg lost $7 billion yesterday in one day because his apps weren't working. And today, a former Facebook employee is talking to the United States Senate about how bad Facebook is. Did what happened yesterday, was it sabotage? Or did someone in a Facebook office trip over a cable? And that knocked Facebook and Instagram and Messenger and WhatsApp. It knocked them all over the globe, all over the planet. It, that was out for 5 to 6 hours. Well, we'll talk about that. We've got a lot to get to on the show. And there's a music festival in New Orleans starting this week that is just like South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. This is pretty cool. It's a first for New Orleans. We'll explain. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. And something is starting in two nights here in New Orleans, and it's going to go on for 10 days and nights. It's called NOLA by NOLA. It's a lot like South by Southwest in Austin, Texas, if you're familiar with that. This is going to be 200 shows, 200 live performances by bands across 35 music venues here in the city, mostly clubs, bars. And it looks really cool. There's a group that got together after the Jazz and Heritage Festival was canceled again and said, we've got to do something musically in this city. I mean, it's been a year and a half since the pandemic. And so now they came up with this idea, again, a lot like South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. They're calling it NOLA by NOLA. And again, it starts Thursday night and it goes for 10 days and nights. I think this is going to be very cool. More than 200 shows across 35 clubs and bars. New Orleans and Company, they're a company. They got together with these venues and they said, let's do something here. And Lord knows we've got the musical talent in this town to pull off a week and a half event. And so New Orleans and Company partnered with some of New Orleans' most iconic nightclubs and music venues, and they created NOLA by NOLA, a branded series of live music events from October 7th through October 17th, because that's when Jazz Fest would have been held, the rescheduled Jazz Fest. And I mean, the biggest music venues in town that you can think of, like Tipitina's and Howlin' Wolf and Preservation Hall, they're all involved. And, it's going to be a fun 10 nights, Coleman, here in the city of New Orleans. The one thing is, to go to any of these, you have to wear a mask and you have to show them your vaccination card or at least that you have tested negative for COVID in the last 3 days, because that's how it is to get into any place here in the city of New Orleans right now, any restaurant, any bar. So you're going to have to do that.
So the concept is, I've never been to South by Southwest, so I'm assuming it's sort of like a festival, but instead of having different stages, you just go to different clubs and stuff around the city as if it was a festival. Like the bands are going to be playing at clubs, venues, and stuff like that, instead of having different stages like you would if you did go to Jazz Fest, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be a 10-day live music festival here in New Orleans. But it's going to be in different clubs and bars.
All right, so then you would have to figure out which bands you want to see and what times they're going to play and which venue they're going to play, and you have to map out how you're going to get to each one each day. Like, okay, I'm going to go to the Howlin' Wolf this day at 6 o'clock and shoot over to Tipitina's on this, on like later on that night, and go to this bar to see this band. So you got, you kind of have to map out where you're going to go throughout the city. It's kind of like a pub crawl, but like a band crawl.
Yeah. And it's great for people who love live music. So many different venues, so many different bands, 10 days and nights. We will link you to a website that will tell you who is playing where and when. We will put that momentarily on our radio station's website, bayou957.com. So you can check it out. But starting in two nights, starting Thursday, this is very cool. A 10-day live music festival, NOLA by NOLA.
Pretty original name.
Well, I think they got that from South by Southwest.
Yeah, that was pretty obvious.
I've been to South by Southwest. That's very cool. South by Southwest, they have national acts. They have some big bands who are just breaking out big or who just broke out big, and they mix those bands with smaller bands.
Mike from Slidell says, it's like a musical treasure hunt. That's a good way of putting it, if I'm visualizing the concept correctly.
Yeah, it's very cool. As a matter of fact, the website is NOLABYNOLA.com, but that's NOLAXNOLA.com. That's the website. We will link that onto our website. But that's where you can go and see who's playing where and when. And the organizers here say this is just the first year. They want to do this every year, and they want to grow this, and they want to be bigger than South by Southwest.
That's possible. And you compare Austin's music scene with New Orleans' music scene. Yeah, that's very feasible and reasonable and possible.
I like it a lot. The CEO of the company who got behind this, again, the company is New Orleans and Company. The CEO is Steve Perry. Well, Stephen Perry. He said, quote, "We started brainstorming. How do we keep the shows going? How do we keep the musicians playing? How do we keep the clubs going? The idea was we're going to create the first major club-based music festival in the United States history. This is a first in our country's history." And the owner of the Howlin' Wolf Club, great place to see music, his name's Howie Kaplan, he said, "This isn't just about saving musicians or clubs. This is about our cultural economy. It's about jobs." And then finally, the Stephen Perry, the CEO of New Orleans and Company, said, "In addition to the more than 200 shows across 35 music venues, in 10 days, we're offering up to $3,000 or maybe more to each club that puts on a certain number of shows during these 10 days.
Here's a question. You just buy one ticket?
No. It's not like that.
All right. So it's not like you can buy one ticket and get a wristband and you just hop from club to club to club to see a band. I guess you have to pay an admission for each different club that you go to see a performance.
Yeah, I again, they're trying to help save the clubs. They're trying to help get bands paid, because how many musicians haven't made much money in the last year and a half because of the pandemic? But if you go to that website, NolaByNola.com, and that's NolaXNola.com, they have everything listed. Again, we'll link that website to our website. This is very cool. For 10 days, starting in 2 days, starting on Thursday, this is the first one in the United States, a 10-day club live music festival. I'm excited. Coleman, we got to hit a couple of these places to see a couple of these bands.
Wherever the beer's flowing.
Yes, and then the beer will be flowing in all of them. It's good stuff. Hey, coming up on our show this morning, Facebook was out for about 6 or 7 hours yesterday. Facebook and Instagram, Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, they were all out. Mark Zuckerberg lost $7 billion yesterday. He'll make that back pretty soon over the next few days. But the timing of this is suspect, because there's a former Facebook employee. She is talking to the United States Senate today, saying how bad Facebook is for our country and how it does things that they know are bad, but they do them, Facebook does, because they make more money doing it that way. She was just on 60 Minutes two nights ago on Sunday night. And today she's talking to United States senators. And boy, in between those 2 days, Facebook went down yesterday for 7 hours. Did it affect your life? I know some people were freaking out. That's coming up. We got a lot to get to on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. October is ADHD Awareness Month. Psychologists have identified the classic signs of ADHD. Number one is, I can't believe how the Saints lost that game yesterday. I mean, did you see that? I'm telling you right now, ADHD is one of them medical issues that was invented or developed during my lifetime. And if they had that, if they knew about it back when I was a kid, I might have been a Harvard scholar. You know, I might have been an Ivy League. But they didn't know about it when I was coming up through school.
Please remember, John Osterlin is not a medical doctor.
They didn't have Google, damn it, when I was in school. Thinking about things that would have made my life a lot easier back then. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O. here with you. So there were stories over this past weekend here in the city of New Orleans, how some people called 911 and they got a recorded message asking them to hold on. How much would that suck if you call 911? It's an emergency. That's why you're calling.
911, what's your emergency?
That's why you're calling 911 and you get a recorded message. from 911. There's a local musician here in New Orleans. He was walking home from a gig at about midnight on Saturday when he tried to, he called 911. He tried to alert police to a possible crime in progress near Elysian Fields Avenue and Claiborne Avenue. He said that he saw someone breaking into a truck, so I called 911. The answer he got was alarming. It wasn't someone saying 911. He got a voice message, a recorded voice message that said, "We are experiencing a high volume of calls, and a call taker will answer your call at any moment. If you have a non-emergency request, hang up and dial 504-821-2222. Click. And he wasn't the only 911 caller in New Orleans this past weekend who got that recorded message. Could you imagine calling 911 because it's an emergency and there's no one there answering your call? It's just a recorded message. They say the reason why that is happening is because they are short-staffed.
Yeah, that makes sense.
At the 911 call center here in New Orleans, like a lot of businesses, a lot of restaurants, a lot of they, and it's not just like that here in New Orleans. It's all over the country. There are a lot of jobs available right now, and there are not people filling those jobs. And that's right after the pandemic, right at the end of the pandemic here, when so many people left their jobs or lost their jobs. A lot of people lost their jobs. But there were a lot of people who left their jobs because they saw the government was giving out more money than they were making at their jobs. And so they just said, screw this. Why should I go to work?
But it does make sense. If you're shorthanded, if you're understaffed and you're demoralized, you know, it makes sense that they might be too under personnel to accommodate all the emergency calls that they probably get around midnight in New Orleans.
Well, this is a big problem. I mean, we already know the New Orleans Police Department, they are extremely understaffed. They're 500 to 1,000 cops short. We know people in the last couple of years here in the city who have called their police when they got carjacked, when they had their car stolen, and the New Orleans police said, we don't have enough people working right now to come and help you.
And is it their fault, though, that they don't have enough people? I'm quite sure they're doing what they can. They just can't do everything they can because they are so undermanned and understaffed.
Coleman, you can't be a big American city. You can't be a medium-sized American city, or you can't be a small American city and have someone call in and say they just got carjacked to the police and have anyone in that city say, we don't have enough manpower to... We don't have enough people working to come out and help you right now. Just like you can't call 911 in any city in America on a Saturday night at midnight and get a recorded message. Those are two catastrophic failures here in the city of New Orleans.
Well, you say we can't do it, but here we are. We're doing it, aren't we? There's a lot of things you say, this can't happen in a major city. It happens in New Orleans.
Well, you could say that about a lot of things.
Yeah, so here we are. We're breaking the glass ceiling.
Coming up next on the show, it's this morning's Big O segment. Facebook went out yesterday for around 7 hours. There were some people freaking out. Did it affect your life that much? Again, Mark Zuckerberg lost $7 billion yesterday, and then tomorrow, or later today, one of his former employees is whistleblowing to the United States Senate. We'll break that all down for you coming up next. here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. I'm John Osterlund. And since it's a few minutes after 7, it's time for this morning's Big O. Yesterday, Facebook, Instagram, Messenger, and the WhatsApp all went down. And they were down for about 7 hours. And it left millions of American workers with nothing to do but their jobs. And this is why you should always have a backup plan for wasting time. But Facebook got back up and running after about 7 hours. And what's interesting about the timing of this is today, a woman who used to work for Facebook is talking with United States senators. She's whistleblowing.
Snitching?
Well, she was on 60 Minutes two nights ago on Sunday night. And she said a bunch of stuff that wasn't really good about Facebook. One of the things she said, and this is what she's going to be telling United States senators today, is that Facebook knowingly did things with their algorithm that they knew would bother people to get them to respond. I mean, obviously Facebook's biggest job is to get not only as many people there, but as many people communicating on there as possible. And what this whistleblower is saying is that you go back to the last presidential election, they would put things, they would let things on their algorithm, they would let things that would anger people, that would bother people, show up on their feeds. So it would get them to respond. She also is saying that Facebook and Instagram, they're in the business of getting people addicted to their platforms. That's what they do. And they say Mark Zuckerberg yesterday, the founder and CEO of Facebook, he lost $7 billion while his apps were down. And the former Facebook employee who was on 60 Minutes and who was going to talk to the United States senators today, her name is Frances Haugen. And she is cooperating with Congress, and she's trying to show Congress that if you leave this technology giant, if you leave it up to its own control, that this is what it will do. It will divide the country. It will anger a lot of people.
Okay, so based on what she's saying, so what? What is Facebook doing that's different from any other business? If you look at any other industry, any other entertainment medium, that's what they do. They want you to engage, so they put out clickbait. They put out articles that's going to get a buzz. How's that different from any other form of media? Facebook is doing exactly the same thing everyone else is doing. And when it comes to, Facebook is trying to get people addicted to their platform, of course, once again, that's every business model. Coca-Cola wants everybody to love Coke. Pepsi wants everybody to love Pepsi. People who design video games want people to be addicted to their video games. That's a business model. Every brand wants a customer to be addicted to their product. That's how you develop consumers. So what is Facebook doing different than any other business ever in America?
She's comparing Facebook to Big Tobacco.
Well, once again.
And that's what she will tell the United States senators.
Once again, what is Big Tobacco doing different from people that sell sugar or people that sell water, people that sell candy or people that sell hamburgers? Like, yes, that's what you want. You want people to be addicted to your products. That's how you make money. If you give them something that they want, they will pay for it and say, yes, this is what I want. So Facebook isn't doing it. I'm thinking she's going to come out and say they were like international terrorists. No, if she's just saying, hey, they're doing the same thing every other business does, screw that woman. Leave Facebook alone.
I'll tell you, when Facebook was down yesterday, Coleman, for those 7 hours, I had no idea what a bunch of my Facebook friends were having for lunch. I had no idea what was going on. I felt like I was left out.
Yeah, well, you and I, we were weird work schedules. So when Facebook went down, I didn't know till I woke up and somebody texted me and told me. Other than that, I could have went the entire day without the text message saying Facebook went down. I would have never known until I woke up this morning and saw everybody complaining. Oh, Facebook went down. I had no idea.
People wanted a comment from MySpace, but there was no comment from them. Their phone has been disconnected.
But no, all right. On a serious note, Facebook is doing what Facebook does. You know, they're the same thing every other business does. Look at Facebook as a business or a media platform. Yeah, you know, news outlets write articles that get people talking. You know, like you said, if it bleeds, it leads. That's what Facebook does. Their algorithm is designed to get people to stay on the platform as long as possible. And if the algorithm figured out that most people stay on longer if they have something to argue about, then that's what the algorithm is going to do, because it's true. Most people on Twitter, what they do, they get on Twitter to fight. You know, most people who go on Facebook, they go on Facebook to argue and post what they feel. So, yes, if that's what keeps people on there longer, if Facebook was always peaceful and Twitter was in the garbage, not that many people would be engaged in it, because that's just human behavior.
Well, she says that this company that she used to work for, Facebook, has very little, if no, oversight. And I think she's going to ask the United States senators today for the government to get involved in Facebook. I mean, I want less government in our lives, not more government in our lives, and I don't want government in more places in our lives. And she's saying companies like Facebook, that this is what they do. They're not good for people. They are dividing this country, and they're making people angry.
But here's the thing. People want to be angry. Nobody is forcing anybody to go on Facebook and use the platform. If you don't like what Facebook is posting or their algorithms or whatever, all you have to do is log off and don't engage in it. Facebook is not forcing people. The algorithm is based on what people click on. It's not like Facebook made the algorithms for that. The algorithm is based on what gets people engaged more. And the algorithm figured out, well, people engage in this type of stuff more, divisiveness, or things that make people angry, things that make people comment. That's not Facebook's fault. That's human behavior's fault. So if more people like to be on Facebook to argue, screw it. We're going to put stuff out there that makes people argue. And if you don't want to argue, don't. It's that easy. If she doesn't like what Facebook is doing, tell her to log her ass off and don't join. Everyone has the option to delete their Facebook app and to cancel their Facebook account and not deal with it. But if people want to be on it, you can't stop them.
I just wonder if them going out for 7 hours yesterday had anything to do with this whistleblower who used to work there, being on 60 Minutes Sunday night and talking to the United States Senate today. Facebook announced in a statement late yesterday, last night, that its platforms are back up and running after a massive global outage plunged Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp, those platforms, into the dark all over the planet. The company said that its engineering teams found that configuration changes on the backbone routers that coordinate network traffic. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. I'm John Osterlund. And since it's a few minutes after 7, it's time for this morning's Big O. Yesterday, Facebook, Instagram, Messenger, and the WhatsApp all went down. And they were down for about 7 hours. And it left millions of American workers with nothing to do but their jobs. And this is why you should always have a backup plan for wasting time. But Facebook got back up and running after about 7 hours. And what's interesting about the timing of this is today, a woman who used to work for Facebook is talking with United States senators. She's whistleblowing.
Snitching?
Well, she was on 60 Minutes two nights ago on Sunday night. And she said a bunch of stuff that wasn't really good about Facebook. One of the things she said, and this is what she's going to be telling United States senators today, is that Facebook knowingly did things with their algorithm that they knew would bother people to get them to respond. I mean, obviously Facebook's biggest job is to get not only as many people there, but as many people communicating on there as possible. And what this whistleblower is saying is that you go back to the last presidential election, they would put things, they would let things on their algorithm, they would let things that would anger people, that would bother people, show up on their feeds. So it would get them to respond. She also is saying that Facebook and Instagram, they're in the business of getting people addicted to their platforms. That's what they do. And they say Mark Zuckerberg yesterday, the founder and CEO of Facebook, he lost $7 billion while his apps were down. And the former Facebook employee who was on 60 Minutes and who was going to talk to the United States senators today, her name is Frances Haugen. And she is cooperating with Congress, and she's trying to show Congress that if you leave this technology giant, if you leave it up to its own control, that this is what it will do. It will divide the country. It will anger a lot of people.
Okay, so based on what she's saying, so what? What is Facebook doing that's different from any other business? If you look at any other industry, any other entertainment medium, that's what they do. They want you to engage, so they put out clickbait. They put out articles that's going to get a buzz. How's that different from any other form of media? Facebook is doing exactly the same thing everyone else is doing. And when it comes to, Facebook is trying to get people addicted to their platform, of course, once again, that's every business model. Coca-Cola wants everybody to love Coke. Pepsi wants everybody to love Pepsi. People who design video games want people to be addicted to their video games. That's a business model. Every brand wants a customer to be addicted to their product. That's how you develop consumers. So what is Facebook doing different than any other business ever in America?
She's comparing Facebook to Big Tobacco.
Well, once again.
That's what she will tell the United States senators.
Once again, what is Big Tobacco doing different from people that sell sugar or people that sell water, people that sell candy or people that sell hamburgers? Like, yes, that's what you want. You want people to be addicted to your products. That's how you make money. If you give them something that they want, they will pay for it and say, yes, this is what I want. So Facebook isn't doing it. I'm thinking she's going to come out and say they were like international terrorists. No, if she's just saying, hey, they're doing the same thing every other business does, screw that woman. Leave Facebook alone.
I'll tell you, when Facebook was down yesterday, Coleman, for those 7 hours, I had no idea what a bunch of my Facebook friends were having for lunch. I had no idea what was going on. I felt like I was left out.
Yeah, well, you know, you and I, we were weird work schedules. So when Facebook went down, I didn't know till I woke up and somebody texted me and told me. Other than that, I could have went the entire day without the text message saying Facebook went down. I would have never known until I woke up this morning and saw everybody complaining. Oh, Facebook went down. I had no idea.
People wanted a comment from MySpace, but there was no comment from them. Their phone has been disconnected.
But no, all right. On a serious note, Facebook is doing what Facebook does. You know, they're the same thing every other business does. Look at Facebook as a business or a media platform. Yeah, you know, news outlets write articles that get people talking. You know, like you said, if it bleeds, it leads. That's what Facebook does. Their algorithm is designed to get people to stay on the platform as long as possible. And if the algorithm figured out that most people stay on longer if they have something to argue about, then that's what the algorithm is going to do, because it's true. Most people on Twitter, what they do, they get on Twitter to fight. You know, most people who go on Facebook, they go on Facebook to argue and post what they feel. So, yes, if that's what keeps people on there longer, if Facebook was always peaceful and Twitter was in the garbage, not that many people would be engaged in it, because that's just human behavior.
Well, she says that this company that she used to work for, Facebook, has very little, if no, oversight. And I think she's going to ask the United States senators today for the government to get involved in Facebook. I mean, I want less government in our lives, not more government in our lives, and I don't want government in more places in our lives. And she's saying companies like Facebook, that this is what they do. They're not good for people. They are dividing this country, and they're making people angry.
But here's the thing. People want to be angry. Nobody is forcing anybody to go on Facebook and use the platform. If you don't like what Facebook is posting or their algorithms or whatever, all you have to do is log off and don't engage in it. Facebook is not forcing people. The algorithm is based on what people click on. It's not like Facebook made the algorithms for that. The algorithm is based on what gets people engaged more. And the algorithm figured out, well, people engage in this type of stuff more, divisiveness, or things that make people angry, things that make people comment. That's not Facebook's fault. That's human behavior's fault. So if more people like to be on Facebook to argue, screw it. We're going to put stuff out there that makes people argue. And if you don't want to argue, don't. It's that easy. If she doesn't like what Facebook is doing, tell her to log her ass off and don't join. Everyone has the option to delete their Facebook app and to cancel their Facebook account and not deal with it. But if people want to be on it, you can't stop them.
I just wonder if them going out for 7 hours yesterday had anything to do with this whistleblower who used to work there being on 60 Minutes Sunday night and talking to the United States Senate today. Facebook announced in a statement last night, that its platforms are back up and running after a massive global outage plunged Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp, those platforms, into the dark all over the planet. The company said that its engineering teams found that configuration changes on the backbone routers that coordinate network traffic between their data centers caused issues that interrupted this communication.
So basically,
blah, 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 blah.
That's all I heard. The interconnected router from the back server of this algorithm with the digital plate, like, it'll just, that's just jargon and throw people off.
Yeah, if you're listening right now, did Facebook's outage yesterday, did it change your life at all yesterday? I'm not the biggest Facebook person. I've said on the show, I've been on Facebook for, 11 or 12 years, and when I started, it was always for the radio show. But over these last couple of years, these last few years, I don't personally Facebook nearly as much as I used to, because there are just too many people out there looking for me to say something controversial, and then they want to go after me.
See that?
I don't want that.
And what did you do? You decided not to participate in it. See how easy that was? You recognized that everybody on Facebook was trying to badge you to start some nonsense, and you said, I'd rather opt out. There you go. That's the solution. Instead of having Congress to come in and shut them down or whatever, take control over it, just do what you do. Just say, I'm just going to back off.
Personally, I still post a bunch of stuff every day on our radio station's Facebook page, the Bayou 95.7 Facebook page. And but other than that, I don't do much personal Facebooking anymore, because there's too many people out there that are looking for trouble, and I need this job. I do. Do you Facebook a lot? Was your life different yesterday than it normally was because Facebook was down for 7 hours? Text us 504-260-9595. Keep your text short, one or two sentences. If it's good, we'll read it coming up next on the show. And please never text while you're driving. Do you spend a lot of time on Facebook? And was your day messed up yesterday? Were you one of the people freaking out? Because there was a lot of people freaking out. It's like they truly have become addicted to Facebook. And that's what this whistleblower has a big problem with. That's why she's talking to the United States.
That's not Facebook. Some people addicted to sugar. Some people addicted to cigarettes. Some people addicted to alcohol. That's not Facebook's problem.
That's why she's talking to the United States Senate today. Text us. I'd like to hear from you here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. The very funny Rodney Dangerfield died 17 years ago today. A lot of mourners attended his funeral to pay their last no respects. Coming up next, your texts on Facebook going out yesterday for 7 hours and if it affected your life that much. There were some people absolutely freaking out. You know, that's the first time Mark Zuckerberg was ever in Facebook jail. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O. here with you. If you're just joining us, this morning's Big O segment. It was about how Facebook went out yesterday. That Facebook, along with Instagram and Facebook Messenger and WhatsApp, they were all down for about 7 hours. And then they came back. They said they figured out the technical issue that brought them down. And I mean, a lot of people are wondering if this had anything to do with the former Facebook employee who is talking to the United States senators today. She was on 60 Minutes on Sunday night. Her name is Frances Haugen, and she used to work for Facebook, and she said Facebook is in the business of, well, A, getting people addicted to Facebook and Instagram, and B, she noticed how they would adjust their algorithms to put negative, divisive things in front of people to get the people to respond, to argue with each other. You know, she flat out says, and this is what she's going to tell the United States senators today, you know, that Facebook hurts people. It doesn't help people. And look, Facebook is just like any other business. They're trying to make as much money as they possibly can. And their way of making money is getting not only the most people on their platform, but it's getting the most people communicating on their platform, or I should say platforms, because Facebook owns Instagram. I asked you, with Facebook being down yesterday for 7 hours, did it mess with your life at all? Because a lot of people were freaking out, and I asked you to text us.
The first text says, the scheduled Facebook shutdown while Zuckerberg cleaned up his dirty laundry. I advertise our band and promote and book shows on Facebook, so not being able to get messages was concerning.
Going back to that last text, Mark Zuckerberg lost $7 billion yesterday with his apps being down all over the world. He lost $7 billion. He'll make that back. The stocks will start going up again today. He'll make that back. But why does Mark Zuckerberg have to shut down Facebook to go shred some papers and clean up his act? Why does he have to do that?
I don't know, a digital footprint. And let's say he has to shut down Facebook to clean his dirty laundry because he was in league with the government, maybe to manipulate political biases. Well, how was complaining to Congress the people he's in league with going to help too? This text says, all those BS ads made Facebook crash. This text says, I like Facebook. I use it for my business, but I wasn't worried about it because I had to work.
Yeah, we use Facebook for our business too. Be a part of our Facebook page here at BayU957. It's a fun Facebook page.
This text says, every phone, computer, iPad, etc. has a thing called a power button. If you don't like something, you can push the power button. I agree with that. This text says, the Facebook outage means more time for sexy women on Reddit. This text said, it was the best day ever, actually. I saw people at lunch talking to each other instead of burying their heads in their phones.
Good point.
This text says, Facebook are for people who want to know what everyone is doing, and the government likes it as they know everything about you.
Yeah, my biggest problem, I mentioned this before, I got on Facebook when most other people did, 11 years ago, around there, 12 years ago, and I used to enjoy it. I always used it for the radio show. But as time went on, I didn't Facebook as much. I personally, these last couple of years, I haven't Facebooked nearly as much as I used to, because there's too many people out there looking for me and other people to say things that they can go after, and who wants to deal with that crap? Facebook isn't like it used to be.
This text says, I mentioned something to a friend while on Facebook and not texting it, just saying it, and then 20 ads will pop up across the Facebook page. They're illegally listening to you. I don't think it's illegal. I think when you sign up for Facebook, you sign, like, you have to agree to the terms and services. And if you read the fine print, they kind of like, hey, we're going to pay attention to your habits. That way we can know what the market for you. So it's not necessarily illegal if you click the check on turn, I agree to the terms and services.
But isn't your flat screen television and your microwave oven listening to you now too?
Yeah. They keep up with what you're saying. That way when you click on, if you mention something about jackets, all of a sudden you're going to find a bunch of ads for jackets. But once again, it's all in the terms and service agreements. So if you click that check, that means you accepted it. So it's not illegal.
And again, this former Facebook employee who is testifying today, Frances Haugen, I guess she says there's no oversight or very little oversight over the company she used to work for, and she's looking I guess to tell them how bad they are. But again, any business, they want to get as many people into their business as possible. They want to get as many people spending money in their business as possible. And that's what Facebook does. It's like any other business. So it'll be interesting to see what she says today and to see what the reaction to that is. Thank you for your text. We always appreciate them. You're always welcome to text this show. It doesn't matter what we're talking about. If you want to text us about anything, just keep it short. One or two sentences. Text it to us, 504-260-9595. And if it's good, we'll read it on the show. And please never text while you're driving. We still got a bunch to get to. I still got the dumbest thing I read all morning. Yesterday, finally, a month after the hurricane, the state of Louisiana said, hey, we'll make trailers available for some people. Stay tuned for that. And there's an NFL football coach that's in all kinds of trouble because he was in a video that went viral with a young woman that wasn't his wife. And that Saints loss on Sunday, 2 days ago, was different than other Saints losses. That was as bad a loss as you could have. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O. here with you. That Saints loss 2 days ago on Sunday was... Oh, hold on. Before I bring that up, we just played the Police. Do you know Sting just turned 70 over the weekend, this past weekend? Sting is 70! And he's one of the very few human beings on the planet who broke up the biggest rock band in the world. Because around 1983, 1984, the Police were the biggest rock band in the world for a few minutes. They really were. I remember being a kid when Synchronicity, that album came out, and so many of people I went to high school with, they snuck out of school or whatever to go get the cassette or the album. But Sting said, that's enough. They were... Didn't get any bigger than the Police in 1983, 84. It did not get any bigger. And he said, you know what, guys? He told the other two guys, I'm going to break up the band and I'm going to go do my solo thing. And they both, the other two guys, Stuart Copeland and Andy Summers, said, huh? Why would you do that? Well, you don't see that very often where a guy is in the biggest rock band in the world and he says, you know what? We've done all we could do. I'm going to go do things on my own. So happy birthday. Happy 70th to Sting. I can't believe Sting is 70. Jesus. So that Saints game 2 days ago. There are losses that you can, after you watch the game, you could say, well, you know, that stunk, but we got beat by a better team, or, I think of that NFC Championship game a few years ago against the Rams. Well, we lost because of a blown call by the official. But there are some losses that are worse than other losses. There are some losses that you just can't explain. And Sunday was one of those days for the Saints. Yeah, they got off to a slow start, but they had an 11-point lead in the fourth quarter, and they blew that. There were three times they got into the red zone inside the other team's 20-yard line, and they didn't score. There were a few coaching decisions that, looking at them now, are unexplainable by Sean Payton. And the fact that they lost to a team who was 0-3 and stunk, the Giants, and it was Jameis Winston's best game as a Saint. So they lost when all of those things happened. They still lost. The couple of Sean Payton coaching decisions, which are unexplainable, they had an opportunity to kick a 47-yard field goal. And he decided, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go for it on 4th-and-3. And they didn't get it. And then not long after that, he sends the field goal kicker, albeit their backup field goal kicker, because their starting kicker, Will Lutz, is still on the injured list. He sends him out for a 57-yard attempt. So he said no to trying a 47-yard field goal. And they went for it on fourth down and didn't get it. And then after that, here's a 57-yard attempt. Hey, go out there and try that. Of course he didn't make the 57-yard attempt. Too many things happened in that game which made the loss pretty unfathomable. Again, there are some games you lose. Okay, well, here's why we lost. The Saints should not have lost that game on Sunday. That was a game where pigs fell out of the sky. I mean, it was late in the game, and they're up by 11 points. They've got the ball. And they lost. Should have never happened.
But overall, how do you feel as they are as a team moving forward? Like right now, we're 2-2, so we're 50-50 when it comes to being great and being bad. You know, they showed up against Aaron Rodgers like, whoa, but then Carolina's like, oh, but then the week after that, it's like, okay, some potential, but then yesterday or Sunday, it's like, wait a minute. It's like we're going on this roller coaster ride. We're up, then we're down. Then we're kind of up, then now we're down. So based on the games that we have so far and us being 2-2, what does the future look like for New Orleans, in your opinion?
I don't know. I mean, you look at the best teams. They're not the best team in their division. Tampa Bay's better than them. Carolina's doing well this year. Atlanta stinks. But you look at the NFC, the best teams in the NFC, who will represent their conference in the Super Bowl. I mean, the Arizona Cardinals right now look incredible. The Los Angeles Rams look good, although Arizona whooped them 2 days ago. You know who looks really good this year? The Dallas Cowboys. Their quarterback is healthy, Dak Prescott. And he's playing as well as any quarterback in the NFL. And they turned around their defense, too. They got the guy who was the defensive coordinator of the Seattle Seahawks when they won the Super Bowl the last time. They got him as their defensive coordinator, even though in between those two jobs, he was the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons and blew that Super Bowl lead 28-3 to the New England Patriots. But Dallas looks good. Green Bay looks good, even though the Saints, they looked horrible against the Saints. The last 3 weeks, Green Bay has looked really good.
How does Green Bay look against Cincinnati?
Is that a game coming up?
Yeah.
You would have to think Green Bay, although Joe Burrow has Cincinnati playing some good football. So those are just the teams in the NFC who look like they're head and shoulders better than the Saints right now.
Okay, I'm taking some mental notes. You said Packers look good, Cardinals look good. All right, we're good.
And are you looking at that for our King of the Bayou?
Yeah, I'm looking ahead at week five, the week that's coming up starting Thursday. So I'm just taking notes of what you said about which team look good and which team doesn't. And, we're going up against the no-name team this week. So I know we look bad right now.
The Saints are playing the football team this
week? Yeah, we're playing. I'm just going to go with New Orleans again, even though Sunday was a bit heartbreaking. But all things considered, even though Louisiana as a state had a bad football weekend, you know, LSU lost, New Orleans Saints lost, I'm doing pretty good in King of the Bayou. I think I'm three games ahead of everyone in the Bayou crew.
I'm looking at this right now. Coleman, you're winning out of the whole Bayou crew. You've got 22 winners.
That's right.
Ginty, he has 19 winners. I have 18 winners. And then our big boss, Kevin, has 17 winners. And Kat is still stuck at one winner.
Blah, 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 blah.
I don't know what she's doing.
Well, she explained it to me. She has, she's been not participating because of some technical issues, so she has not been making any picks. That's why she's stuck at that one. So she's getting that sorted out now, but, man, hey, you never know. She gets back in this week. She might have a chance.
But when it comes to our listeners, Juan is currently
the leader, yep.
on top. He's got 26 winners. And that's 2 weeks. This thing started 2 weeks ago. So this is a lot of fun, and you could still get involved. It's free. It only takes a few seconds to sign up, and you pick all the NFL games, no point spreads, and whoever you can get involved with some of your friends or your coworkers, and you could battle each other, and everything's right in front of you here.
Yeah, I'm impressed with everybody that has over 20, like Juan, Tony, Glenn, Brian, Drew, Nicholas, Bryce. They're all up in the upper 20s.
And so you can go to our website and you can just click on our King of the Bayou box there and sign up for free. We have weekly prizes every week, whoever gets the most weekly winners. And then at the end of the year, whoever wins the most games wins $6,000 worth of prizes, including a diamond ring, also a 65-inch flat screen HD television, an autographed Drew Brees Saints jersey, an autographed Drew Brees football. So that's pretty cool. It's our now annual King of the Bayou football picks, and have fun with us. Get involved. I can't believe Coleman is winning out of the Bayou crew.
I can believe it. I have a video. I had a video on our website shows you how I make my picks, and it's real simple. I go by personal biases, my favorite colors, towns that I like to visit. It has nothing to do with stats and numbers like you.
Well, after 2 weeks, you're four picks ahead of me. I gotta change that.
All right, real quick, this text says, do you think this is the end of the Sean Payton era?
I'll tell you, I don't know if Sean Payton will ever get fired as the coach of the New Orleans Saints. You know, he won that one Super Bowl here, but I'll be honest with you. To that text, there were a few decisions he made this past week. Not just him, but him especially, and some of the other coaches. Boy. That game on Sunday, that's a game they should not have lost. Again, there are some losses you can understand, but not that game on Sunday against that team at home. First packed home game in a year and a half, too. Man, did that suck. So we'll see. I don't know who's going to fire him. But some more decisions like he made, and if the team loses games like they lost this past Sunday, there's only one place to look. Again, when the quarterback has the best game he's had as a Saint, Jameis Winston, and they lost like that, that's a problem. That's an issue. Sign up for our King of the Bayou at our website at Bayou957.com. Bayou95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. So just looking at Facebook, some of the things that I missed out on during those 7 hours yesterday when Facebook and Instagram went down. One of my Facebook friends, she posted, "My life just really freaking sucks." And she got 19 comments. One of them, "Join the club." Another one, "We love you." And then another one put up the prayer hands emoji, praying for you. And then there was 16 more like this. This is what I missed.
Yeah, that's what this chick has to go to Congress and bitch about.
This is what I missed out on yesterday. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. And this has to do with a family who had an issue during a meal. The cops showed up. That's next on the dumbest thing I read all morning here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. It's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Man barricades himself in house after family members take bite of his grilled cheese sandwich. This happened in Dundalk, Maryland. A Maryland man has been arrested following an hours-long standoff with law enforcement that police say began when a family member took a bite from his grilled cheese sandwich. Baltimore County police say the dispute began about 5 p.m. This past Saturday at the man's home. He says the man, the police say the man was eating with his wife and daughter and became angry when one of them took a bite from his sandwich, prompting him to fire a shot inside the house. The wife and daughter were able to safely leave the house, but the man barricaded himself inside. He surrendered peacefully shortly before 9 p.m. This whole thing began about 5 p.m. and it ended at 9 p.m. Luckily, no one was injured. Police took the man to a hospital for an evaluation. He will face charges. I've got the police report right in front of me here. One of the questions I had when I saw this story was, which family member took a bite out of the man's grilled cheese sandwich? Because
the female did.
Well, it says here in the police report, Coleman, he was eating dinner 5 p.m. Saturday at his house with his wife and his daughter.
So the female did it.
But all it says is someone took a bite out of his grilled cheese sandwich. What would make him, which one of those two would make him pull out a gun and fire a gun inside of his house? for taking a bite out of his grilled cheese sandwich. Probably his wife.
I would say to both of them. Both of them. It seems like this is one of those last straw type of deals. He had to go home to this house surrounded by females. They probably had like the view on in the background. He's just coming home from
Saturday
work.
Not Saturday at 5 p.m. I don't know if they got the view on.
they get streaming now. They probably had some girly stuff going on. And he just wanted some man time to himself. That he should have installed a man cave to avoid all of that drama.
When you're enjoying a grilled cheese sandwich, which in my opinion is extremely delicious, Coleman doesn't agree.
Yeah, because I hate cheese.
Coleman is not a cheese eater. One of the few people that can say that. But if I'm enjoying a grilled cheese sandwich, which I absolutely love, and if someone in my house that I lived with took a bite out of my grilled cheese sandwich, I don't know if I'd get the gun and fire the gun inside the house, although I would be upset.
Yeah. See, you have to think about it. It seems to me this is the family, and they just take from him. They just take. They take his money because he has to pay bills. They probably take his car so they can drive around and spend his money, and they just take. They probably change the channel when he's trying to watch something. Like, he probably wants to watch the game, but they put it on something else, and they just keep taking. And finally, they took a bite out of his. That's all he wanted. He just wanted a grill cheese sandwich all to himself, but they couldn't even let him have that. They couldn't even say that was the last straw. He couldn't take it anymore.
Then he snapped.
Yep. It happens.
Well, again, that happened this past Saturday over the weekend in Dundalk, Maryland. And the man who barricaded himself in his house for about 4 hours after he fired a gun inside the house because one of his family members took a bite of his grilled cheese sandwich.
It took him 4 hours because he made another grilled cheese sandwich so he can actually eat it and enjoy it without nobody around. That's what took so long for him to come out.
Man, that's the dumbest thing I read all morning.
That was dumb.
My head hurts a little bit after reading that. That's how dumb that was. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O. here with you. That Saints loss 2 days ago on Sunday was, oh, hold on, before I bring that up, we just played the Police. Do you know Sting just turned 70 over the weekend, this past weekend? Sting is 70! And he's one of the very few human beings on the planet who broke up the biggest rock band in the world. Because around 1983, 1984, the Police were the biggest rock band in the world for a few minutes. They really were. I remember being a kid when Synchronicity, that album came out, and so many of people I went to high school with, they snuck out of school or whatever to go get the cassette or the album. But Sting said, that's enough. They were... Didn't get any bigger than the Police in 1983, 84. It did not get any bigger. And he said, you know what, guys? He told the other two guys, I'm going to break up the band and I'm going to go do my solo thing. And they both, the other two guys, Stuart Copeland and Andy Summers, said, huh? Huh? Why would you do that? Well, you don't see that very often where a guy is in the biggest rock band in the world, and he says, you know what? We've done all we could do. I'm going to go do things on my own. So happy birthday. Happy 70th to Sting. I can't believe Sting is 70. Jesus. So that Saints game 2 days ago. There are losses that you can... After you watch the game, you could say, well, you know, that stunk, but we got beat by a better team, or, I think of that NFC Championship game a few years ago against the Rams. Well, we lost because of a blown call by the official. But there are some losses that are worse than other losses. There are some losses that you just can't explain. And Sunday was one of those days for the Saints. Yeah, they got off to a slow start. But they had an 11-point lead in the fourth quarter. And they blew that. There were three times they got into the red zone inside the other team's 20-yard line. And they didn't score. There were a few coaching decisions that, looking at them now, are unexplainable by Sean Payton. And the fact that they lost to a team who was 0-3 and stunk, the Giants, and it was Jameis Winston's best game as a Saint. So they lost when all of those things happened. They still lost. The couple of Sean Payton coaching decisions, which are unexplainable, they had an opportunity to kick a 47-yard field goal. And he decided, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go for it on 4th-and-3. And they didn't get it. And then not long after that, he sends the field goal kicker, albeit their backup field goal kicker, because their starting kicker, Will Lutz, is still on the injured list. He sends him out for a 57-yard attempt. So he said no to trying a 47-yard field goal. And they went for it on 4th down and didn't get it. And then after that, here's a 57-yard attempt. Hey, go out there and try that. Of course he didn't make the 57-yard attempt. Too many things happened in that game which made the loss pretty unfathomable. Again, there are some games you lose. Okay, well, here's why we lost. The Saints should not have lost that game on Sunday. That was a game where pigs fell out of the sky. I mean, it was late in the game, and they're up by 11 points. They've got the ball. And they lost. Should have never happened.
But overall, how do you feel as they are as a team moving forward? Like right now, we're 2-2, so we're 50-50 when it comes to being great and being bad. You know, they showed up against Aaron Rodgers like, whoa, but then Carolina's like, oh, but then the week after that, it's like, okay, some potential, but then yesterday or Sunday, it's like, wait a minute. It's like we're going on this roller coaster ride. We're up, then we're down. Then we're kind of up, then now we're down. So based on the games that we have so far and us being 2-2, what does the future look like for New Orleans, in your opinion?
I don't know. I mean, you look at the best teams. They're not the best team in their division. Tampa Bay's better than them. Carolina's doing well this year. Atlanta stinks. But you look at the NFC, the best teams in the NFC, who will represent their conference in the Super Bowl. I mean, the Arizona Cardinals right now look incredible. The Los Angeles Rams look good, although Arizona whooped them 2 days ago. You know who looks really good this year? The Dallas Cowboys. Their quarterback is healthy, Dak Prescott. And he's playing as well as any quarterback in the NFL. And they turned around their defense, too. They got the guy who was the defensive coordinator of the Seattle Seahawks when they won the Super Bowl the last time. They got him as their defensive coordinator, even though in between those two jobs, he was the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons and blew that Super Bowl lead 28-3 to the New England Patriots. But Dallas looks good. Green Bay looks good, even though the Saints, they looked horrible against the Saints. The last 3 weeks, Green Bay has looked really good.
How does Green Bay look against Cincinnati?
Is that a game coming up?
Yeah.
You would have to think Green Bay, although Joe Burrow has Cincinnati playing some good football. So those are just the teams in the NFC who look like they're head and shoulders better than the Saints right now.
Okay, I'm taking some mental notes. You said Packers look good, Cardinals look good. All right, we're good.
And are you looking at that for our King of the Bayou?
Yeah, I'm looking ahead at Week 5, the week that's coming up, starting Thursday. So I'm just taking notes of what you said about which team look good and which team doesn't. And, we're going up against the no-name team this week. So I know we look bad now.
The Saints are playing the football team this
week? Yeah, we're playing. I'm just going to go with New Orleans again, even though Sunday was a bit heartbreaking. But all things considered, even though Louisiana as a state had a bad football weekend. You know, LSU lost, New Orleans Saints lost. I'm doing pretty good in King of the Bayou. I think I'm 3 games ahead of everyone in the Bayou crew.
I'm looking at this right now. Coleman, you're winning out of the whole Bayou crew. You've got 22 winners.
That's right.
Ginty, he has 19 winners. I have 18 winners. And then our big boss, Kevin, has 17 winners. And Kat is still stuck at one winner.
Blah, 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 blah.
I don't know what she's doing.
Well, she explained it to me. She's been not participating because of some technical issues, so she has not been making any picks. That's why she's stuck at that one. So she's getting that sorted out now, but, man, hey, you never know. She gets back in this week. She might have a chance.
But when it comes to our listeners, Juan is currently
the leader, yep.
on top. He's got 26 winners. And that's 2 weeks. This thing started 2 weeks ago. So this is a lot of fun, and you could still get involved. It's free. It only takes a few seconds to sign up, and you pick all the NFL games, no point spreads, and whoever... You can get involved with some of your friends or your coworkers, and you could battle each other, and everything's right in front of you here.
Yeah, I'm impressed with everybody that has over 20, like Juan, Tony, Glenn, Brian, Drew, Nicholas, Bryce. They're all up in the upper 20s.
And so you can go to our website, and you can just click on our King of the Bayou box there and sign up. For free, we have weekly prizes every week, whoever gets the most weekly winners. And then at the end of the year, whoever wins the most games wins $6,000 worth of prizes, including a diamond ring. Also, a 65-inch flat-screen HD television, an autographed Drew Brees Saints jersey, an autographed Drew Brees football. So that's pretty cool. It's our now annual King of the Bayou football picks, and have fun with us. Get involved. I can't believe Coleman is winning out of the Bayou crew.
I can believe it. I have a video. I had a video on our website shows you how I make my picks, and it's real simple. I go by personal biases, my favorite colors, towns that I like to visit. It has nothing to do with stats and numbers like you.
Well, after 2 weeks, you're 4 picks ahead of me. I gotta change that.
All right, real quick, this text says, do you think this is the end of the Sean Payton era?
I'll tell you, I don't know if Sean Payton will ever get fired as the coach of the New Orleans Saints. You know, he won that one Super Bowl here, but I'll be honest with you, to that text, There were a few decisions he made this past week. Not just him, but him especially, and some of the other coaches. Boy, that game on Sunday, that's a game they should not have lost. Again, there are some losses you can understand. but not that game on Sunday against that team at home. First packed home game in a year and a half, too. Man, did that suck. So we'll see. I don't know who's going to fire him. But some more decisions like he made, and if the team loses games like they lost this past Sunday, there's only one place to look. Again, when the quarterback has the best game he's had as a Saint, Jameis Winston, and they lost like that, that's a problem. That's an issue. Sign up for our King of the Bayou at our website at Bayou957.com. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. So just looking at Facebook, some of the things that I missed out on during those 7 hours yesterday when Facebook and Instagram went down. One of my Facebook friends, she posted, "My life just really freaking sucks." And she got 19 comments. One of them, "Join the club." Another one, "We love you." And then another one put up the prayer hands emoji, praying for you. And then there was 16 more like this. This is what I missed.
Yeah, that's what this chick has to go to Congress and bitch about.
This is what I missed out on yesterday. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. And this has to do with a family who had an issue during a meal. The cops showed up. That's next on the dumbest thing I read all morning here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. It's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Man barricades himself in house after family members take bite of his grilled cheese sandwich. This happened in Dundalk, Maryland. A Maryland man has been arrested following an hours-long standoff with law enforcement that police say began when a family member took a bite from his grilled cheese sandwich. Baltimore County police say the dispute began about 5 p.m. This past Saturday at the man's home. He says the man, the police say the man was eating with his wife and daughter and became angry when one of them took a bite from his sandwich, prompting him to fire a shot inside the house. The wife and daughter were able to safely leave the house, but the man barricaded himself inside. He surrendered peacefully shortly before 9 p.m. So this whole thing began about 5 p.m. and it ended at 9 p.m. Luckily, no one was injured. Police took the man to a hospital for an evaluation. He will face charges. I've got the police report right in front of me here. One of the questions I had when I saw this story was, which family member took a bite out of the man's grilled cheese sandwich? Because
the female did.
Well, it says here in the police report, Coleman, he was eating dinner 5 p.m. Saturday at his house with his wife and his daughter.
So the female did it.
But all it says is someone took a bite out of his grilled cheese sandwich. What would make him, which one of those two would make him pull out a gun and fire a gun inside of his house for taking a bite out of his grilled cheese sandwich. Probably his wife.
I would say to both of them. Both of them. It seems like this is one of those last straw type of deals. He had to go home to this house surrounded by females. They probably had like the view on in the background. He's just coming home from
Saturday
work.
Saturday at 5 p.m. I don't know if they got the view on.
they get streaming now. They probably had some girly stuff going on. And he just wanted some man time to himself. That he should have installed a man cave to avoid all of that drama.
When you're enjoying a grilled cheese sandwich, which in my opinion is extremely delicious, Coleman doesn't agree.
Yeah, I hate cheese.
Coleman is not a cheese eater. One of the few people that can say that. But if I'm enjoying a grilled cheese sandwich, which I absolutely love, and if someone in my house that I lived with took a bite out of my grilled cheese sandwich, I don't know if I'd get the gun and fire the gun inside the house, although I would be upset.
Yeah. See, you have to think about it. It seems to me this is the family, and they just take from him. They just take. They take his money because he has to pay bills. They probably take his car so they can drive around and spend his money, and they just take and take. They probably change the channel when he's trying to watch something. Like, he probably wants to watch the game, but they put it on something else, and they just keep taking. And finally, they took a bite out of his. That's all he wanted. He just wanted a grilled cheese sandwich all to himself, but they couldn't even let him have that. They couldn't even say that was the last straw. He couldn't take it anymore.
Then he snapped.
Yep. It happens.
Well, again, that happened this past Saturday over the weekend in Dundalk, Maryland. And the man who barricaded himself in his house for about 4 hours after he fired a gun inside the house because one of his family members took a bite of his grilled cheese sandwich.
It took him 4 hours because he made another grilled cheese sandwich so he can actually eat it and enjoy it without nobody around. That's what took so long for him to come out.
Man, that's the dumbest thing I read all morning.
That was dumb.
My head hurts a little bit after reading that. That's how dumb that was. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.